together. God, thanks for the power of your word. Thank you that it's alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the very point of the division between the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. It judges our motives. And so, Lord, would you open our hearts to your truth and help us to understand this morning, and then make application so we can be different as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I jump in here this morning, one thing I also want to mention is if you've never been to one of our reveal services, we do it about every couple of months on a Sunday evening. So tonight at 6 o'clock right here in the worship center, we're going to be gathering primarily for worship and praise. It's about an hour and 10-minute service or so, like our normal services are. We do a lot of praying for one another as needs arise. We allow the Holy Spirit to kind of give direction to that service. I may share for a few minutes, but there's no long sermon or anything like that. It's really to come together as a church and worship Christ and then minister to one another. So if that sounds exciting to you, if you've been before, we really encourage you to come again tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, hold them up so I can see them, or a phone, however you use a Bible. Do you have that this morning? I'm so proud of you guys for bringing your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's probably one in the seat in front of you, or if you're in the front under the seat, please take that and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if on your phone, that's easy to find, but in a regular Bible, maybe you need to look in the table of contents if you don't know where that book is. It's in the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be there in just a moment. I want to start by asking this question: whose idea was it for the Church of Jesus Christ, for the Christian community, to gather regularly together, just like we're doing this right now? Whose idea was it for the Christian church to gather together to worship and share community? Was it God's idea, or was it man's idea? Was it an invention of man and the church saying, you know what? I think it would be a good idea. Did the first century church leaders say, you know what? It would be fun to get together. We should do this regularly. So let's just plan that, I don't know, once a week we get together. Did this originate from people or from God? I believe it came from God. The idea of the church and the gathering of the church was God's idea. So how then can some of us consider participation in church as optional? How can we consider that something that God ordained, that God created, something in the heart of God, not man, how can we view it as optional? Because Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this, to the church, let us as Christians, let us consider how we can stimulate each other to love and good deeds, not forsaking or neglecting or rejecting the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing. But instead, let us, as we gather, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the return or the day of Jesus Christ coming getting nearer. In other words, as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth for his bride, how much more do we need the gathering of believers for encouragement? And yet, still today, some are in the habit of neglecting the gathering of believers. Over 2,000 years ago, God wrote this, inspired this through the writer of Hebrews. Do not neglect the gathering together of the church. That's a command. How do we get in the habit of ignoring that command of God? As if we get to pick and choose which commands of God we want to follow and which ones we don't. How do we take that one and say, well, if that commandment's convenient, then okay. If it's not, then I'm going to pass. Don't forsake the gathering together of believers, as some are in the habit of doing. Here's what I want you to walk away with today. Connection to the church is God's plan for spiritual growth. Connection to the church of Jesus Christ is God's plan for spiritual growth. God created this amazing thing called the church to be a blessing to his people. He created the church and the concept of the church to be a blessing to us. Now, throughout the entire Bible, and I'm going to talk about the Old Testament just for a moment, God would give his prophets who would speak to the people, he would give them physical or earthly metaphors to teach spiritual truth. In other words, he'd give them a picture of something that they knew, something familiar to them, to teach a spiritual principle. So with the prophet Isaiah, one of the prophetic metaphors that he gave was that the people of God are like a bride. Why would he give this picture of God's people as a bride? Because he sees you as beautiful. Because you're the desire of his heart. And because he's a faithful husband, he's going to stay faithful to you as his bride through thick and thin. The prophet Ezekiel had another metaphor. He said that the bride, or the church of God, the people of God, I should say, not the church, the people of God are like a flock of sheep. Why that prophetic metaphor? Because sheep have a tendency to wander. Sheep have a tendency to go astray. Sheep have a tendency to get themselves in trouble. And so do we as people. We wander away from God. We wander away from spiritual things and what we should be doing. And yet God is a faithful shepherd. God goes after us. He seeks after the lost, right? He binds up the crippled. He takes care of the sheep. God is always that faithful shepherd. Ezekiel gives us this picture of God's people as a flock of sheep. We come to the book of Jeremiah. He has several metaphors, prophetic metaphors the Lord gives him. One of those is of a basket of figs. In fact, there were two baskets of figs. A rotten basket of figs and a healthy basket of figs. This is a healthy basket of figs. And it was to delineate to the prophet two different conditions of Israel depending on whether they were being obedient to God or disobedient to God. If they had walked away from God, if they were in rebellion against God, he said, you're like that the rotten figs. But as they are compliant to the Lord and obedient to the Lord, they're like this beautiful, healthy basket of figs. The first church, the first century church, was made up primarily of Jewish people. In fact, almost exclusively Jewish people to begin with. Jesus was a Jew. The Messiah came out of Judaism, the religion of the Jews. And so initially, the whole church, for the most part, was Jewish people. But that wasn't God's plan for the church. God's plan was way more inclusive than that. God wanted people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue to be part of his community, part of his people. And so the Jews began to go out and preach the gospel not only to other Jews, but to Gentiles, non-Jews, to all the nations. And so suddenly the church of Jesus Christ was a blend of Jew and Gentile. Now, that created all kinds of problems. The Jews have had all kinds of different mindsets about who they were in relation to God and who the Gentiles were. There was an arrogant spirit of superiority among the Jews. They saw the Gentiles as unclean, spiritually unclean, not welcome in their community. They were exclusive, not inclusive. In the Jewish religious setting, women and children were marginalized objects. They had no real value or place. The Jewish system was hierarchical, socially. In fact, the temple courts were broken down into sections. As you entered the most outer courts of the temple, the Gentiles could only go to the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles. The next court in was the court of women. Women could go one step further in the temple into the Lord's presence than the Gentiles. Beyond that was the court of the Jewish men, who could go one court deeper than the Jewish women. Beyond that was the court of the priests, where the priests could enter. It's this hierarchical system. And then, of course, the high priest could go into the innermost sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, only once or twice a year. So depending on your rank in the community, that determined your religious experience. That's not God's plan. So the gathering together, the blending together of Jews and Gentiles created all kinds of problems in terms of what the church was supposed to be. But God had this new model in his mind. And so to communicate that spiritual truth, he gave Paul a brand new prophetic metaphor that had never, ever been used in the Old Testament or anywhere. He said, the church is like a human body. No one had ever heard that before. And as he unpacks that, as he unfolds that, we're going to see this was shattering all kinds of mindsets in the early church about what the church was supposed to be like. It revolutionized Christianity. So now with this new metaphor, the idea that a Christian could be spiritually healthy but separate or apart from the church was craziness. You're part of the body. You can't take the kidney out and set it on the table. It's not going to have life. The thought that someone could be excluded from the community and be healthy spiritually was craziness. This brand new metaphor taught all kinds of truth that was difficult for the first century church and difficult for some of us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says this, "For even as the human body is one, and yet it has many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ and the church. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free." We could add to that, whether male or female, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. "We were all made to drink of one Spirit," the Holy Spirit. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says," the foot of the body says, "because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body," it's not for that reason any less part of the body. "If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body," it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. "If the whole body were an eye only, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were just ears, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed," say God has placed, "God has placed the members, each one of them," say each one of them. If you're a Christ follower, that's you. "In the body," say in the body, "just as God desired." Let's just pause there. It's the desire of God that you, as his son or daughter, you're part of the body as he desired. He placed you in the body as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? "But now there are many members, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor." Can you imagine the Jews at this point? Going, wait. We have more abundant honor. We were the ones you gave the law to. We were the ones that the fathers and the covenants you made with. It was with Israel. We're the special people. And now he's saying those that you consider less honorable, God considers more honorable. Craziness to the Jew at that time. "And our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division, hierarchy, separation of people in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, because all are important. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it, because all the members are important. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. 18 times in those 16 verses, Paul uses the phrase, the body. Why? Because in many ways, the church of Jesus Christ represents or reflects the reality of the human body, and that's the point of this series. We're going to make comparisons between the human body and the church, and some of the things Paul was intending to teach. So if you're taking notes, you can follow along. We're talking about the truths that we learn from the body metaphor that Paul teaches. Number one, it's God's will that Christians be connected to the church. It's God's will. It's not man's will. This is God's will that Christians, Christ followers, be connected to the church. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, men or women, young or old, rich or poor, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." See, you don't go to church to be saved. You go to church because you are saved. Attending church doesn't make you a part of the body. Because you're part of the body, you attend church. It doesn't work the other way around. You don't earn God's favor by going to church, and then at some point you become part of the church. You're part of the church by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jews and Gentiles that knew Christ, that had the Holy Spirit inside of them, were now equally part of God's community. Not on the basis of race. Not on the basis of knowledge of the Bible or keeping the law. They were part of God's body, God's church, on the basis of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Every person that surrendered their life to Jesus, that received the forgiveness of Christ's of sin through Christ's offering, and given the Holy Spirit, it's because you have the Holy Spirit that you qualify to be a member of the church, not by any works that you do. And it's interesting that phrase, we were all baptized, that verb baptized in that verse is in the passive voice, which means that the action originates not from the object, but it's happening from something outside. In other words, you didn't place yourself in the body. You didn't baptize yourself into the body. You were baptized into the body, immersed into the body, placed into the body by God. On the basis of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, you became a member of the church. Part of the church of Jesus Christ. The reality is there's people that attend church gatherings like today that are not part of Christ's body. They're part of an organized church. They're part of a local church. They might even be members. They went through the classes and they're members. But unless they put faith in Jesus Christ, unless their sin is forgiven, unless they've received His grace, they're not part of the body of Jesus Christ. They're not part of the actual church of Christ. See, being connected to the body isn't optional for Christians. It's our identity. If you are in Christ, you are the church. Therefore, you do church. Because it's who you are. It's your identity. You are part of the body of Christ. Now, I got married at 20 years old, and I hadn't been around kids much. My wife had grown up with young nieces and nephews, and she loved kids. She'd volunteer to go in the nursery at church. Me, not so much. Didn't really like kids, actually, if I'm honest. Did she'd be holding babies, like, here, hold it. I'm like, no, just hold it. That's fine. I don't need to. I didn't have my own kids. About a year and a half into marriage, we had our first kid. How many of you know my identity changed at that point? I was now a father. I had to do what fathers do. That's part of who I was. I had to change diapers. Men, you got to step up and change some diapers. Come on, somebody. It's who you are. I'm not about changing just any other young kid's diaper, but now I'm a father. My identity's changed. I have new responsibilities. I change diapers because of who I am. And you go to church, you're part of a church because of who you are. Your identity has changed. You're a Christ follower. You're part of His body. Some Christians see themselves connected to Jesus as the head, but not connected to His body, the church. That's equivalent to seeing yourself as an arm connected to the head, but not connected to the body. How weird and ugly and gross is that, right? You think, no, I've got Jesus. I'm connected to Christ, but I'm not connected to the church. How can you be an arm and not connected to the shoulder and not connected to the chest and not connected to everything else? See, we are to be not only connected to Jesus Christ as the head of the body, but we are to be connected to the body in order to have life. 53 times the Apostle Paul says, our Lord, our Lord. One time he says, my Lord. Why? Because the church is a community of people. And we see ourselves as individuals that it's me and God, baby. That's all I need. No. You're part of a community. God baptized you into a church. You are a vital, important member of the body of Christ. So live it out. Start living your identity. Start living who God says you are instead of maybe what the culture says or the church culture says you are. It's not just you and Jesus. And I'm going to come back to this, but it's not just you and Jesus and the one or two Christian friends that you go to Starbucks and talk about God with. Being connected to the church is more than that. It's not just watching a live stream sermon or listening to a podcast. That's not what it means to be connected to the body of Jesus Christ. It's more than that, and we'll talk about it. Paul is teaching that God doesn't accept our excuses for not being a part of the local church. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many, including you. You are part of the body. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I don't really think I belong or need to belong, I'm not a part of the body, Paul says it's not for that reason any less part of the body. You're still part of the body, whether you think you are or not. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. Everyone has an excuse for not connecting to a church. But it's God's will that we're connected to the church. See, we grow spiritually through our connection with Jesus and the church. Scripture doesn't say that you're to be a part of the church, you're to be connected to the church, unless you're a college student. Then you get 4 years off. I haven't found yet in Scripture where it says that. And you're like, wait. I've got homework every night. You don't know how many books I have to read. I don't even have a car to get there. Well, you're pretty smart. Figure it out. You're in college. Your parents are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to educate you, and you can't figure out how to get to a church. I don't think so. There is no exemption if you're in college. Chapel, if you're at a Christian college, is not church. Coffee with a couple Christian friends and a prayer and an amen is not church. God is calling you. You are part of the body of Christ. It's who you are. It's your identity. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says if you're a busy young family that you're exempt. You don't have to be part of the church. I mean, your kids, they're busy all the time, right? Surely God would say you don't need to be connected if you're in that season or stage of life. If you're single, you know, the church is just mainly made up of families. I don't feel like I'm a part. Oh, okay, then you don't have to be. Just hang out with God and a couple of friends, right? No, it doesn't say that. If you're divorced, no exemption. Regardless of how the church has treated you, if you are divorced, you are a vital part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because it's by grace that we're allowed to enter these doors, not by works of the law. And we have to minister in that capacity. So whatever place you are, in life, you're a busy professional, man. You're traveling all the time. You're a mover and a shaker, okay. But where in Scripture are you let off the hook from being connected to a local body? I haven't found anywhere it says, you know, unless the pastor offends you, then you're off the hook. I'm going to offend you all the time. It's just part of it. Or, you know, not in this service because we have too many people, but in other services we rope off sections of the worship center. Well, I can't sit where I want to sit. Or what if you get here a little late and they take your seat? Huh? You sit there every week and someone is in that seat and you don't get the aisle seat anymore. You got to sit in the middle and touch people. I'm not coming back. It doesn't say that. You're part of the church. Figure it out. It doesn't say unless your Sunday school teacher puts your kid's number on the board. And then when you go over there, your kid was really disruptive today. Guess what? Sometimes your kid is disruptive. That's right. Own it. Sometimes your kid messes up. And the Sunday school teacher, when we were pastoring a church plant, came and said, your kid's a nightmare to us. We're like, you're wrong. He said, there's got to be something wrong with you. Let's get a new teacher in here. Right? No, my kid was a disaster. He was a little boy, and he was being a little boy in Sunday school. So I don't go, oh, they don't like my kid. I'm gonna leave. I'm not going to be part of the church anymore. There are no exemptions. We work these things out in the body of Christ. Refusing to be connected to the local church is like saying that we don't need it. I'm doing really good on my own. I don't need the church. I don't need to be connected to the church. Paul warns about that. He says, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. God says we need the church. Whether you realize it or not, you need it because God says you do. And the church needs you. So I've coached basketball for a number of years. I've probably met one or two kids in the history of my coaching career that liked practice. They hate practice. I did my best to try to make practice interesting and different so that they would like it a little bit more, but we had to practice. What did practice do? Practice prepared you for the game. It wasn't like, okay, some of you guys can come if you want and practice and get better. If you feel like you're good enough, you don't need to come to practice. Do you know what the game is for Christians? It's living the Christian life strong in the world. It's being a positive witness for Jesus Christ among people that don't know Jesus Christ. Do you know what involvement in the church is? It's practice. It's learning how to get better. It's learning how to follow Christ more passionately and how to live more righteously and how to do the things that God wants you to do. It's growing in Christ so that when game time comes, you're ready. Amen? If you're on the team, you got to practice. Connection to the church is God's plan for spiritual growth. Number two, when every member of the body contributes, the body is healthy. Got a couple of my friends down here in the front row, the McCartneys, who coach. I don't know if Coach O's here this service or not, but coaches know if you only got 7 of the 10 that want to be a part of the team, doesn't work. If everybody doesn't contribute, the team's not going to reach its potential. And the church is no different. If everyone in the church, everyone that's part of Christ's body doesn't contribute, the church is not going to be what God wanted it to be. Verse 18, now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Every part of the human body contributes to the life of the body. There's no unnecessary, really, for what Paul's talking about. No unnecessary part. Every part of the body contributes to its life. And each Christian has to contribute for the body to be healthy. So now, in this metaphor in the first century, Jews and Gentiles, male and female, young and old, rich and poor, they were all valuable. They were all important. They were all needed to contribute instead of just the one rabbi in the community. Everyone just followed the rabbi. He was the important guy. Or the priest in the temple. Everybody just followed the priest. Not anymore. All of a sudden, whether you're Jew or Gentile, male or female, young or old, you are valuable to the church of Jesus Christ. You have a part to contribute to the church. There's no more temple courts. In the book of Ephesians, it says the walls in the temple that brought division have all been torn down. There's no longer a court of the Gentiles and a court of the women and a court of the Jews and a court of the priests. You're all mixed together now because you all have equal value in the body of Christ. No one is better than anyone else. The human body gives life support to each of its members, and to a degree, so does the church. The church becomes life support to its members. My daughter Shannon's going to be here next service. She came up from St. Louis this weekend. And she went through a really painful and difficult divorce after having a daughter. And she had a choice to make about this thing that we're talking about, the church. She was divorced, she was broken, she was hurting. And it would have been really easy for her, and many people probably would have, you know, understood it if she just kind of pulled away from church. She didn't. She understood the value of it. She told me she would sit in the back row of church. She would come late intentionally, feeling ashamed of where she was in her life. She'd sit in the back row and weep through the whole service. Shame, brokenness, feeling not like I'm a part. And she stayed consistent. The church was life support to her. She told me she was a couple months behind in her rent, single mom. And people at church would walk up and hand her money, exactly 2 months' rent. People sent her cards and letters. People asked if they could watch her Faith, her daughter, while if she needed a little bit of time. People did everything. It was life support to her. That's the body of Christ. And we're not perfect at it. And so if you're in that place that Shannon was and someone doesn't come up and give you a big check today, don't run out of the church, okay? But that's why we have small group community. So you can be known and people can help meet the needs of your life in a larger church. We are the body of Christ. We are life support to its members. The challenge is, well, you know, when if one member is cut off, it slowly dies. If you cut your hand off and put it on a table, how long is it going to live? And if someone's cut off from the body of Christ, how long are they going to live spiritually? I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but really in terms of vitality and the life of the Spirit, how do you have that without engagement with the church? Here's the challenge. There's no perfect church. There's always problems because there's weird people in the church. There just are. Weird meaning different than us. Anyone that's different from you is weird. So I think a lot of y'all are weird. That's just the way it is. But we learn to stay in relationship by grace. We learn to be gracious to people. We grow in grace. That's part of the beauty of the body of Christ, is that we're different. We don't want to be with just people that are like us and talk like us and look like us. That's not the community of faith that God intends. So here's the deal. If you find the perfect church, don't go there, because you will screw it up. You will. You'll make it imperfect. If you find the perfect church, keep your hands off of it. There is no perfect church. That's why we're a grace community, because we learn through Christ to overcome differences, right? Racial, personality, whatever it is. When Christians are unconnected to the church becomes crippled, and the church fails to reach its potential. If you have two ears but no eyes, guess what you are? You're blind. If you have no hands and feet, guess what you are? You're deformed. You're crippled. You're not fully what you're supposed to be in terms of every part of the body. You're crippled. You know, there's a lot of crippled churches today. There's a lot of blind churches today because the eyes have decided they don't need the body. There's a lot of deaf churches today because the ears have determined they don't need the church, or they've been hurt by the church, and they're no longer a part of the church. And we as the body of Christ, at times, we limp along in life because all of the members aren't there. Paul says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? When each member fails to contribute to the church, they die a slow spiritual death, and the church becomes unhealthy and doesn't reach its potential. Connection to the church is God's plan for spiritual growth. So I want to end by sharing this. What does it mean then to be connected to a church? If it's not watching a sermon online or listening to a podcast or just reading the Bible on your own or meeting with a couple of friends in your dorm room, if it's not just going to Starbucks and having a Bible study, if it's more than that, what is it? What does the New Testament teach us that the church is all about? How are we to be connected? Let me share a few possibilities, and these are in your notes. Number one, there's accountability to spiritual leadership of the church. So when Paul went around evangelizing, preaching the gospel, and people began to get saved in the first century, they formed communities, they formed churches. And one of the very first things that Paul did in every community, in every city, was he appointed elders to lead the church, spiritual leadership, so that when people sin in the church, they have leaders who will help walk them through that, leaders who will help them overcome that. But what we do in our culture is we sin and we leave that church. There is no accountability. We just go to another church and we don't tell them what we've done in our past, and then we just maybe become until they discover who we are, then we leave that church. But God's intention was there were loving spiritual leaders that would hold you to account for your moral lives, and then lovingly walk you through challenges that you're facing. Accountability to spiritual leadership. Number two, they shared in corporate worship, like we did this morning. We come together and corporately we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves in Acts 2:42 to the teaching of the church leaders. They were committed to not only hearing what God was teaching through the leadership, but putting it into action in their lives. They shared in small group community. They prayed for one another in the church. They used their spiritual gifts to serve the people of the church. You can't do that at Starbucks. They gave financially on a regular basis to the church. They shared in communion together, the Lord's Supper. They reached out to their oikos and they added them to that community. They added them to that church. There's a lot to being a New Testament church. Are there any of those things that you're not committed to? I'd say you're not committed to the New Testament model of church. And many of you here right now, you're hearing this, you are incredibly connected at Central, and I am so grateful for you. And this message really isn't for you in terms of motivating you to take a step toward greater involvement. Some of you are over-involved, but some of you are not. For some of you, if you can attend this service once or twice a month, that's pretty good. I would suggest, according to Scripture, that's not what it means to be connected to the local church. That's not what it means to be a vital part of the body of Christ. It's more than that. And maybe you're watching online this morning and you're not connected to a church. Man, my prayer, my encouragement is you need to be. It's God's will for your life. It's His plan for your spiritual growth. It's way more than having a Bible study with a few friends or a prayer partner or watching sermons online. It's all of those areas of connection. So let me ask you this. If connecting to a church, like we've talked about, is God's will for your life, if it's God's plan for spiritual growth, if it's His means of blessing you, what do you think Satan is doing right now? What do you think he's doing right now? He's doing everything he can to keep you and your family from being connected in the church. He's throwing everything at you because he knows this is God's will for your life. He knows this is God's plan for spiritual growth. He knows this is God's plan for you to reach your potential and to be blessed. He doesn't want that for your life. I wonder if Satan and his demons came up with strategies like this. Let's make music style in the church more important than Scripture, more important than prayer, and more important than loving one another. So then people will just go from church to church looking for the best worship experience and never get connected to the body of Christ. Or I wonder if they got together and said, let's make divorced people feel like the scum of the earth so they don't feel welcome in any church. I wonder if Satan and his demons got together and said, let's make people's lives so busy they just don't have time, right? What if he could turn our culture into such a busy culture that church wasn't even a priority anymore? What if he said, let's make parents feel guilty if they don't let their children play in travel teams every weekend? Because every other parent is letting their kids do that. Let's make them feel really guilty so they're never in church. Nothing wrong with travel ball, okay? If you figure out how to be connected to the church and still get involved in any activity in life, that's wonderful. That's great. But not at the expense of connection in the church. I wonder if Satan and his demons got together and said, I know he did this one, let's cause misunderstanding and hurt between church members. And instead of forgiveness, let's encourage bitterness and gossip. You've never been a part of that in a church, I'm sure. Broken relationships, hurt feelings, and then all of a sudden that person's not around. Where'd they go? Well, they didn't fix the relationship. They didn't walk through it. Just a side note, first of the year, I'm starting a series called The Trap, beginning the first week of January, talking about being offended by people in the church and walking through forgiveness and seeing reconciliation and restoration happen. Because it happens all the time. People get offended and hurt, and we don't walk through that. And on and on and on the reasons go for not being connected to a local church. We have a lot of, in our community, all around the country, church dropouts. They just drop out. They're Christians. They're born again, but they dropped out. They're no longer a part of the church. And yet, despite its imperfection, God calls us to connect with this life-giving organism called the church, imperfect as it is. You need the church, and the church needs you. Is there something that's keeping you today from a deeper connection with the church? And again, I'm not speaking to those of you that are really connected or connected to the point where you feel like, you know, you're fulfilling what God wants you to do. I mean, if you're not, is there one thing that we've talked about today you could say, you know what, I could make an adjustment in my life to become more connected with the church and more in line with God's will for my life? And this is just between you and the Lord. No one's going to measure this in your life but you. Like, are you living the New Testament model that God gave for the church, the body of Christ? You need the church, and the church needs you. Let's stand this morning. And I just want to pray. I want to pray together. And if there's an area of your life that you feel a little conviction means that you feel a little bad about it, then we're going to go to the Lord, and we're going to say, Lord, help us with that. Help us to take a step today to be more connected, more in line with your purpose for the body of Christ than we are. Can we do that? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in humility. We recognize, Lord, that many of us, we make excuses for not obeying your command to be connected to the church. And Lord, there's probably areas we would admit right now, where I'm not doing that. I'm not really connected in that area. And God, in your mercy, would you help us? Would you give us grace? Grace to walk this out. Grace to see the gathering of the church and our part in the church is vital to our spiritual growth. In Jesus' name, amen.